This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of the Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by Innovated Construction. First name in construction for you out there with the Innovated Companies. New construction, project planning, and consulting. They do residential and commercial work, industrial as well. Help you with your land development. They can design build projects for you, new home construction, remodeling, excavating, anything you may need. Innovated is the name for you, Innovated Companies. And of course, the parent company, Innovated Construction, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. 35 plus years of experience, second generation craftsmanship. You guys, a couple weeks ago, heard from Randy Green and his talented daughter, Stephanie. They've done an unbelievable job of carrying on the family name in construction business here in St. Louis. Give them an opportunity for your business. Check them out. Their ask of you, they now being Innovated, innovatedcompanies.com. Well, here we are answering a two-game losing streak with a two-game winning streak on the road. A couple of nice wins. I don't know that Edmonton's been what we thought they would be this year, following up a nice season, having the MVP on their team. Still a majorly talented team, and Blues answer a two-game losing streak by going in Edmonton with a convincing win. And then a heck of a game in Vancouver as the Blues fought back. And for the Laterra haters out there, just another brilliant performance by Mr. Shen. And we find ourselves answering a two-game losing streak with a two-game winning streak. Let me welcome in my co-hosts in studio here today from the McKendree University hockey team, head coach Gary Henson, and, of course, Tommy Brown. What's going on, fellas?
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Jim?
Good morning. Better than you were doing last week when you had your teeth taken out. I mean, that's good, Butter.
That was the most ridiculous thing ever.
Ridiculous. Well, okay, I can handle it.
Oh, the pain was just ridiculous.
Is it really?
Oh, my God. Well, what happened was a nerve died on me.
Yeah?
That pain of that nerve dying was...
So hang on. So what was worse, the nerve dying or the actual work at the dentist's office?
The nerve dying.
Oh, okay.
It was like somebody was beating me over the head with a brick every 10 minutes.
Really?
Yes. For about 10 minutes.
So it comes to a point where you just got to have something done because you can't take it anymore. Yeah. You don't even care what it feels like when you... All right. Well, we can handle that.
Let me hit you in the head with a brick.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, it was the same.
All right.
Well, tell you what.
The dentist was great. I mean, he completely numbed me up before he started ripping it out.
Well, ripping it out. That sounds great. Yeah. Well, hey, numbing is a... You know, we do the... the Ask Jamie Now or Ask the Fellas, and we had an interesting conversation go back and forth last night. You know who you are, and I told you I would address it when we get Jamie on the line here in a minute, but the age-old argument of points versus performance. I mean, do we judge everything by points? So with the third and fourth line basically, I'm not going to say being non-factors. We put our Twitter poll out, and it had a lot to do with a fan favorite, Patrick Berglund, and maybe a organizational fan base learning to appreciate a guy that might be a better-than-average third-line center. So be interesting to get Jamie's take on that as well. I want to remind everybody, before we go on the bench with Butter here, that we want to have you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's our website. You can listen to the show. You can also subscribe. Christmas is upon us. If you would do your internet shopping at Amazon through us, we'd appreciate it. Once you get to bluesnhlpodcast.com, you simply click the Amazon banner down on the right. You're done with us. We get a very small referral, helps us cover the production costs for the show. Social media is our main ask of you. If you could find our social media pages on Twitter, you'll find us at STL Blues Podcast and at NHL Show. Those are our Twitter accounts. If you'll follow us on Twitter, we would greatly appreciate that. Make sure you jump in whenever we have some of our contests, questions, comments about the games. Just jump right in. We're happy to have you be a part of it. The main ask from us on social media is find our Facebook page, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. If you would then invite your friends to like it as well by simply clicking the Invite Your Friends button, we would greatly appreciate it as you try to grow our fan base. You can find us on Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast. Happy to have you guys on board. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Couldn't do the show without them and all their wonderful support. And of course, really appreciate everybody in the studio that helps make the show sound professional. Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, our wonderful producers. So, good stuff, fellas. I'm looking forward to this today. Like I said, as we have come full circle now with the show, and we have a lot of people on board. You know, we put this stuff out in segments. You know, we do our Twitter poll, and then we have our questions of the week. And the conversation yesterday, like I said, people are getting a little antsy. With some guys, same guys scoring all the time. Can the defense continue this surge of scoring? I mean, I know, like, Gary, you were out of town for the weekend, and once again I heard you say Edmondson. I mean, it's crazy where we're getting these goal scoring from.
I don't know if it's crazy. Well, it's an
alarming rate.
We're not used to it.
Well,
how's that?
Well, I mean, it's –
like, it's something different that we haven't necessarily seen from a Blues team before, but I don't see any reason why it doesn't continue, because the way the system is set up, it's set up to create those soft spaces for the D, either through backdoor or high slot areas. It's something that, you know, it feels like grinded out hockey sometimes because you're working low to high, but it's not necessarily like a dump and chase kind of system. But the Blues do cycle the puck well. They work underneath the goal line well, and in the offensive zone, and the D are finding those soft areas. You know, like I said, on the back door or high in the slot, it's something that, you know, obviously a different level. I say it all the time, but the Blues, you know, they like that weak side D to jump up into play on the attack as well. It's something we do at McKendree, so. We're not reinventing the wheel at McKendree. We're just trying to copy off success. I tell guys all the time, if you see somebody doing something successful, just do that.
You know, Butter, when you played multiple positions like most people do in amateur hockey, but now with you running the D, as a defensive coach, when you see some offensive skill in a defenseman, is that something that, like, maybe you find certain points in the game where it's like, I think it's time now to take advantage of this?
I don't think that there's certain times in the game. I think if you've got an offensive defenseman, a guy that can score, you're always going for him. You find that soft spot when you can. It's not at a certain point. It's from the drop of the puck.
Well, you know, like sometimes being home team and you get last change, if you can find a matchup situation where you can outnumber them offensively on the ice and you think you can handle it defensively and things like that. You know, before we go to Jamie here, with both you guys coaching, how important is that last change when you have that sort of situation?
It's big for us. We use it a lot. We don't roll four. We have four successful lines, but we don't roll four lines in succession. So what we do is we match up, depending on, you know, what their team has as far as, you know, scoring threats or whatever. Or, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, people think I'll match up like our checking line against the other team's top line. That's not necessarily always the case. I sometimes will match up my top line against their top line because my top line will possess the puck more and control them by not letting them, you know, have possession of the puck for, you know, a good amount of time. And if my top line can possess a puck down in their offensive zone, I don't care if their top line has to play defense a lot or is on the defensive end of the puck a lot, we're going to be pretty successful there. Butter and I, we believe in the five-man unit, so we see, you're not going to see our top line out with a different D pair. You know, you're going to see them with the same D pair all the time. And so
unless there's injuries.
Well, right. Yeah. But that's how we, you know, that's how we do things. And we have a little bit more of an advantage than the NHL because we can roll seven D. So we can keep 5-man units out there a lot.
Interesting is that's kind of the thing you've heard more in the last few years from the NHL is watch the 5-man unit. And like, you know, when the Hawks were dominating, they would go to video evidence of they could go at any time in the screen and that you would see the 5-man unit. You'd very rarely see the 5-man unit broke up, and that's how they would dominate games, whether it was in the offensive zone, the middle of the ice, or in the offensive zone. So interesting to hear. Yeah, and like I said, you just wonder, like you hear them talk about having the change. You think, you can always, it's not that easy. So having the last change, I think, is important. So curious to get Jamie's thoughts on that. And you hear the familiar music. And again, I'm not quite sure you can be pissed after a 2-game road winning streak. Hello, Mr. Rivers. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I am here waiting for your call.
Waiting for my call. Well, fans always waiting to see just what kind of mood Jamie's in. And as I mentioned right before you came on, I'm not quite sure that pissed would be a way to attack answering a 2-game losing streak with a 2-game winning streak. Thoughts on the answer from our Blues with the 2 games?
Well, you know, they just keep playing hard and they just keep playing pretty sound hockey. You know, a good bounce back, certainly. In the game right away, and then I really liked the game against Vancouver. You know, a little adversity. They didn't look as sharp as they could have been early, and then they managed to battle back and get the overtime win with none other than Braden Schenn. I mean, this guy is I think it's safe to say he's officially on fire.
Officially.
Officially.
Yeah, I mean, he's I tell you what, we've seen some trades work out in the Blues' favor in St. Louis over the years. We've seen a couple not go the way we thought they would go. But, man, again, it's real easy to forget about the first-round picks because of what he's doing right now. But, you know, if you can't even compare him and Laterra right now. I mean, it's a,
sure you can. Well, you can compare
him. There's no comparison.
No, there's a comparison. Shen's good and Laterra isn't.
Yeah, well, I hear you.
Well, I guess, yes, you can compare the players. You can't compare the tax. That's for sure. You know, another thing I wanted to hit on real quick is, you know, all these things that came up for, you know, topics of discussion in the last week or so, you know, Mr. Parayko gets on the board in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And then since my last phone call with you guys, number 20 and number 26, Alexander Steen and Paul Stastny have done nothing but, I guess, reaffirm what I thought of them from the start.
No,
and now they're putting points up. So now that they're putting points up, I guess now you guys are all warm and fuzzy with them.
Right? Hey, hold on. Don't you throw me into Cromer pool.
I'm looking at they're not doing anything. I don't know if they're worth it. And now this week.
Hey.
After that's a shot at Cromer.
This week, well, what? What do we got?
Two things. Number one, Coach Henson will tell you that if you ever want to get a guy going, I have to believe in my heart that they're not any good. And now I can't fake it. So, like, people can't say, hey, Chrome, Tarasenko's snake bit. You got a dog on him. No, I have to believe it in my heart. So I'm going to take credit for this. Or they listen to the show.
As George Costanza once said, it's not a lie if you
That's right. And they may have listened to the show and said, we got to get it together. So either way, I'm going to take credit for this one.
They didn't have to get anything together.
Last week,
they're doing all the little things right. Now it's translated into points, which, you know, everybody thinks is the sexy thing to win hockey games. Even though the Blues have been successful all year with these guys, now we're worried about points, which I get it. It's got to show on paper. Somewhere we have to see this on paper. And that's fine, but now they've done it. So I'm real happy because I'm not going to lie. I got the feathers out a little bit here. I'm a proud peacock.
Oh, boy, proud peacock. Jamie Rivers peacocking through the concourse of the Scott Trade Center,
sir,
for Pete's sake.
Careful how you say that.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because on our you know, on our questions that we have on the Innovative Electric question portion of the segment, that came up a little bit, and it obviously surrounds the third and fourth lines and the lack of offensive production. So that question that we're going to come to, and again, we're going to do that here in just a minute, but basically it's stats versus on-ice performance, especially when it comes to young guys. What are you going to go with? And I think I know where you're going to head with this, but we're going to wait just a few minutes on that one, as I want to remind everybody that currently we're on the bench with Butter as we break down Blues action. They answer the two-game losing streak with a nice two-game road victories, both in Edmonton and Vancouver. The game in Vancouver, as Jamie mentioned, a little bit of adversity there. If you face some adversity with your IRS issues, Tommy Brown, how do you guys like that? Was that good? Was that good?
Huh? Nice.
Nice. Look, Butter. Boy, look, Butter, I knew where you were going.
Well done, segue.
Because you've got your problems. Hey, tax resolution by TommyBrown.com. Proactive tax planning is what he's really all about, guys. Obviously, he'll help you with your taxes. And if you find yourself in a little bit of a problem with the IRS, he's definitely your guy. But if you own a business, if you're self-employed, self-contracted, you may have better ways to utilize your income rather than just give it away. So this might be your guy. Tommy, if they want to learn more about how you can help them with their tax planning or if they do have issues, what's your phone number?
618-407-3674.
Good stuff, my man. And as we're on the bench with Butter, we'll get back to Blues action. This will kind of take us into our Twitter questions, which are brought to you by Innovative Electric. So let's do that. Right off the bat, there was a heated back and forth on third and fourth line versus points versus production. So there's a few people calling for, you know, maybe a couple of the guys in the minors coming up that are putting up some offensive numbers and replacing a couple of the guys, whether it be on the third or fourth line, probably more the third line with maybe Sundquist. We've had Yask, and we've had some guys just with no offensive production. Now, that's a back-and-forth argument of, okay, yeah, would you give up the defensive portion of the third and fourth line to get some offensive production? What's your thoughts on that argument?
Well, here's the thing, right? When you get a third line, the mission of the third line is they literally have to be a two-way hockey player, and they have to be able to play in tough situations defensively, play against possibly the other team's top line and shut them down. And then on the flip side of that is, yes, they have to have some kind of ability to produce some points, to produce some goals. Like, you can't have two lines and that's it. You've got to get production from your third line. And, I mean, we look at last year, if you want to categorize having Perron on the third line with Berglund and then whomever, because it was a little bit of a revolving door over there. But those guys, they produced. They did. Whether anybody wants to acknowledge it or not, if you just pull open the statistics, they produced as third-line players and had pretty good seasons. And Patrick Berglund had, in my opinion, one of his best all-around seasons. So we're missing that right now. Yashkin's not producing. He's a real hot, cold-type player, and I just don't know if he can fill that void on the third line where he's got to be able to have the combination of both. I guess the jury's still out on that, which is difficult because he's been around for so long now. You'd think at some point we'd have, you know, a pretty good idea of what we got there, yet we still don't really know. With Sundquist, I think he's done an adequate job of filling that role on the third line. Now, his point production certainly is not even there, like really like null and void. And that's a bit of a problem. And sometimes his engagement in the game is not as much as it could be. When we touch on the other side of it, having to be strong defensively, he's not engaged sometimes enough. Now, he did have a big shot block there in Edmonton, and I tip the hat to that one because, you know, it takes some balls to do that. And he did it, and you know what? You got to give credit where credit's due. However, apart from some of these isolated events, it's been really tough to find a lot of things that he's doing great out there. So I think the Blues right now, the quick remedy of this is if Berglund is as far along as they think he is, I think he'll be back very shortly, and that will take care of that center position on the third line. I think Bergie's going to come in and do really well. Will he put up 20 goals again this year? You know, to be determined, but I'm optimistic that we can get double digits at least out of this guy in goals, and he's a big body, and he's proven himself to be pretty good defensively in that slot. So Young guys from the minors, it's tricky because, yeah, they go down to the minors and they're putting up points, but there is always something that kind of gets put to the side, right? Like some of these guys are putting up numbers in the minors. They're not asked to play that much defense. They're getting all the power play time. They're getting, you know, the filet mignon of the cuts down there. They're not going to get that in the NHL. And if they come up and play third line, you know, are they able to be strong enough defensively, smart enough, sound enough, all these things to consistently play that role? I don't know. That's to be determined. So I think the first step, baby steps in this process to me, is getting Berglund back up the middle on the third line, and then let's see kind of how to sort out from there. And then as you move forward, you kind of tweak it slowly for that third line. Now, the fourth line, I'm okay with what they're doing. You know, nobody's ever expected these guys to be massive point producers. They kill penalties. They battle. Scotty Upshaw, Brodziak, and even Thorburn. You know, he's kind of been the whipping boy here lately from a lot of people. But he's chipping pucks out. He's chipping pucks in. He's doing a good job. He's answering the bell at times for his teammates. And, you know, that right wing on that side, to me, that can be interchangeable with a number of guys and keep guys going. But, you know, the fixtures on the fourth line are Brodziak and Upshaw, and I'm happy with what they're doing. So, you know, that's my long-winded version of what I see right now.
Hey, Riz, I got a question. So when people bring up the guys that are producing points down low, and as you said, they get the quality minutes on the power play and the quality minutes just overall in the game, but at what point does it come into the equation that a guy that's a first or second liner in the minors, how does he fit being a third or fourth liner here? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a top six guy.
Well, he does.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I think that gets lost sometimes when we're talking with the general public and they're like, hey, we need some production on the third line, and they want to go get a top line or a second line guy from the minor league team and bring him here and play him on the third or fourth line. To me, that just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, it's very difficult for not just fans, but even real hockey people. I've had plenty of organizations that I've been in that call up top scorers from the minors and then slide them in on the third or fourth line and expect that they're going to be great. And they're not. I mean, they're just not that kind of player. And the successful teams that bring guys up from the minors and that utilize their prospects in the right way are the teams that put that style of player in that same role at the NHL level. So if you've got a top six forward in the minors, he's got to be a top six forward in the NHL or top seven, and he plays on the third line with two really solid defensive guys. You know, like that's kind of where you have to be very careful with who you pull in and out of the lineup and up and down from the minors. You know, but there's got to be some guys that they're grooming down there that are going to be these two-way players. The problem with that, though, hence, is that those guys usually take a little more time to marinate in the minors to really get a grip on being a two-way player. And that's why it takes more time, and that's why sometimes it's frustrating for the fans because they see no movement in that area.
Right.
Well, you know, the thing that I find interesting is that was also our poll of the week, and it kind of addressed the Patrick Berglund. And, you know, he did win out that he would jumpstart that third line. So kind of what you're saying and what I do find interesting is I think maybe Blues fans, and I'm not going to say they were misinformed, but maybe we believed and or hoped that Patrick Berglund would be a top two line player. But what we found was he was a really good third line center. So that kind of answers the question, right, that he's going to do that. So my follow-up to you is maybe the lost guy in all this, and Jamie, you would be the guy to answer this question. Obviously, we've had some injuries right at the beginning of the year. You know, Rory Fabry. Obviously, you know that stunk, right? And absolutely. Well, Jayden Bouwmeester going down. He was a little bit of a whooping boy, but I think he'll definitely help with the penalty kill for sure when he comes back. Let's face it, he's experienced. Patrick Berglund, I think we realize, is going to definitely improve the third line. As far as the depth goes, there though, nobody ever talks about Zach Sanford. Do you think the Blues viewed him as a third line guy, and he probably would have added a little more to that?
Well, I absolutely know for a fact that, you know, he was slotted to be on that line with Berglund. Now, you know, who else would have been on that line? Obviously, to be determined. But, you know, can you imagine adding Robbie Fabry to the lineup and Sanford right now, and then Berglund comes back? Like, holy crap. I mean, that's a hell of a lineup. Now, I know, and that wish in one hand and shit in the other, and tell me which one you feel first, right? So, I get it. But you know, Patrick Berglund coming back is going to help for sure. And Zach Sanford, you know, I don't know how far out he is yet. I haven't heard anything on the radar as far as even, you know, a time where he can possibly come back. So, yeah, he would have been a guy that would have gotten a real good shot on that third line. He's a right-handed shot as well. So it would have been great. Now we'll see. Time will tell. If the Blues can sustain what they're doing currently and then they get a guy back like that closer to the trade deadline or even after, whatever the case may be, that might give them another boost. So I think the key here is the fans can't lose sight of the fact that they're playing really good hockey right now. And that, yes, we're being carried by two lines. But, hey, guess what? We're being carried by two lines. We haven't even been able to say that in recent years. Well, it's always been like we got a one-line team and, you know, other guys kind of chip in. Well, right now we got two solid lines. Our top line is an elite line in the league. The only team that probably has a better line is in Tampa Bay with the Stamkos-Kucherov combo and Nemestikov. So, you know, we're very fortunate right now that we have such good players in our top six. And, you know, let them carry the ball, and then hopefully we give them a little boost as the season goes on.
Right, but it's not just two lines. I mean, there's a lot of production coming from the D. And so
true.
So I don't – when we sit and we read, oh, what are they going to do? We only have two lines of score, and the third and fourth line aren't producing. But the D are producing. So, you know, that's something we hit on earlier. We haven't really seen a lot. So I don't know how much we need the third and fourth line to produce if Joel Edmondson and 55 and 27 are jumping into play all the time and producing there. So I don't know.
I'll take good D out of the third and fourth line and the occasional goal.
Yeah,
and
I'll take,
and it was a great conversation that came as a request for our Twitter question from Innovated Electric. Special thanks to Josh McCombs, Alex Taylor, Brian Whitcraft, Heartfire. You know, Kruki Blues, you guys did a great job of getting that conversation going, and that's what we really ask for when it comes to social media. Hey, Jamie, I want to invite a friend in here, a friend of yours, which I can't believe it. When I said, how are you friends with Jamie, he admitted it. So right off the bat, that was pretty good. But everybody out there is going to know this familiar voice and this familiar name. If you're a sports fan in St. Louis, I have to say iconic, really, with sports talk, and that is Tom Ackerman, sports director from KOMOX, host for the Cardinals and the Blues Radio Networks. Tom, welcome in, bud.
Boy, it's good to be here. This is a great studio. Really, really nice. Excellent spot. Love Edwardsville. This is where we're located. And it's my day off, so I'm in a great, great mood. I've got a newspaper. I never get to sit down and read the paper. I already had a coffee. I did have to run a few errands for the family. That's what happens when they know you're on vacation. But it's great to be able to talk some hockey with you. And hello, Jamie Rivers. How are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're over there.
It's good to be here.
Need all the help they can get.
It's good to be here. So I'm really excited to hear the talk about the team. You're absolutely right about this team thriving right now on two lines. The third line really concerns me. I love watching the fourth line go out there and crush people and play pretty well. And actually, they've scored, too. I mean, they've contributed some big goals. My concern with this team right now, my question for you is special teams. You know, they almost gave that Vancouver game away. The penalty kill hasn't been great. And the power play, quite honestly, hasn't been great. And I think if your third line is not producing, you're playing with fire a little bit if you're giving goals away and not cashing in on power play opportunities, and that concerns me a little bit. They need to shore that up, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's a great point because just kind of touching, going, cycling back to, we're winning these games, right, in spite of having maybe not the production we'd like out of our bottom two lines, mostly our third. And we're getting the point production from the D. We're finding ways to win games. And literally, we're finding ways to win games right now without strong special teams. And with today's NHL, like, there's no way your power play can't be contributing. And I know, look, they've got the right guys. They've got the right personnel. I think it's a matter of trying to figure it out a little bit. You know, they've moved Alexander Steen from the top of the power play down low. And I like that move. You know, Steiner's, he's such a consummate leader that he'll take that job in front of the net and he'll take a beating. He'll, you know, get hit with pucks. He'll do whatever it takes to help the team. So I like that. I do really feel that Vladdy has to be moved around on the power play. Like when he gets out there, he gets into a spot and he doesn't really move around. Like, he just waits for the puck, and then when he gets it, and this has been a topic of conversation before, and I stand firm on it just because I've seen so much hockey and I teach skills all the time. He's taking too long to shoot the puck. And I know everybody's like, what do you mean? He's got the quickest release. He does. From point of pressure to release of the puck, yes. But the loading phase of it, where he's pulling the puck in all the time, it's like one stick handle, pull the puck in, and then point of pressure. Well, that 2 seconds or a second that it's taking to pull the puck in, everybody knows it's happening. So they're fronting the pucks, or they're getting their sticks in the way, or they're just closing the shot late altogether, and he has to move the puck to somebody else. So I'd like to see him speed that process up, maybe work in a one-timer when he's playing on the right side, even if it's just a little half one-timer. The element of surprise is a wonderful thing. You can ask Brett Hull and Brendan Shanahan, two of the best in Blues history at the one-timers. I just think that it's too easy, too stagnant right now. Remember like when our power play was successful in the last couple of years when, I'm going to bring up Shattenkirk and Steen and all that. They were everywhere. Like, you just never knew who was playing D, who was playing here. They were cycling and moving and interchanging, and it's very difficult to defend at that point.
Yeah, and the goaltender, and you make the goaltender totally uncomfortable is kind of the goal, right?
Well, it's very, and the coverage too, right? Because our brains as hockey players are trained to know who the forwards are, who the D are, and then we have a plan, a strategy that we've gone over on the video of how we're going to handle this. But then when everybody ends up in different spots and you're looking around and you don't have anybody that you recognize from what you should be doing, it creates an unsettled out there. And that's when you're able to score goals, is when the penalty kill gets unsettled. So I think that movement is huge right now. They've got to just interchange and move it and keep the puck moving, as well as getting pucks to the net. They have to get them there in any shape or form, because today's NHL, you guys see the highlights. There's 75% of the goals are created off the shot, meaning a rebound, a deflection, or a pass after the rebound. Something always happens when a shot is successful at getting to the net.
Well, I'm glad you addressed that, Rick B. Hopefully that answered your question of the week. And great points, Tom. And again, I don't know about the other two guys in the room, but you hear a legendary voice, how clean it is, and your balls kind of shrivel up a little
what?
Bit. You sound kind of ineffective.
What? No.
I don't know, man. I just
find a different analogy or whatever.
I mean, what the shit? No. It's great to have you in here, man. I appreciate you very much.
I appreciate
about yourself.
It.
Hey, no. Again... So,
I take that as a compliment.
It is
a compliment.
That's
I mean,
great.
For Christ's sake.
I mean, obviously, it's great that he's here, but I don't want to go to my, whatever.
Hey.
Move on. Come on.
Last question from our Twitter ask of the week. So, I guess in the end, we're not perfect, right? But as I'm sure Jamie would say, we're doing awfully well. So, from Spruto, basically, and I'll go around the room here and let everybody give a quick analogy, and I'll start to my right with Mr. Ackerman. Can the Blues sustain this high level of play for the long haul?
Yeah, I think that they can, but, they really miss Robbie Fabbri. They're missing that speed desperately, and when they add Patrick Berglund, they're going to get slower. So they've got to figure out a way to get some more production. That third line has got to be better, and I'm not sure if it will be. I haven't seen any signs that they're going to make it better. I think Yashkin is an example of a player who he's got to be great, and he's kind of a last chance for him. I'd say the same thing for Pay-Arvey. They have some really good players that are on the way eventually. So there are some players, whether they play on the second or third line, wherever they end up, they've got to be really good. And I think that Mike Yeo will be able to shuffle them around. He'll try to find the right mix to get this thing done. But right now, yes, I mean, as long as Shen, Schwartz and Tarasenko are healthy, I mean, it's the best line in hockey right now. They are playing. It's an absolute machine. And so they're going to be great. It seems like he's found the right formula for playing Allen and Hutton for the most part. And Allen's had some blips there recently. But as long as they keep going there, they'll be fine. I mean, they should be able to handle most of the teams on their schedule. They're playing really good hockey right now. Adding Bouwmeester will be big. And I know we've all pounded Bouwmeester at some point or thrown our hands up in the air. But the fact of the matter is most teams in the NHL would love to have Jay Bouwmeester. He's smart. He's experienced and he's excellent on the penalty kill for the most part. So that's a good addition. I think they'll be good.
Butter, your thoughts? Can they sustain this play?
Yes.
A man of so many words.
All right, I don't know how you want me to follow that up. I mean, he pretty much just went through the whole lineup and said how we're going to be able to continue this. So I just got to say I concur.
You concur. Henson, you're never a loss for words.
No, that's true. Yeah, I think they can sustain it. And, again, I think the fact that we're getting so much production from the D core, I don't think that's going to change much with the system they play. I think that'll continue, and I really like that. I agree with both Tom and Jamie as to the power play's got to get moving. I just – in regard to the power play, though, I know we'll touch on it Thursday. Jamie, you can talk a little bit more about it and about Tarasenko shooting. If you look at Washington's power play, you know, I mean – Ovechkin doesn't move around much, but everyone else does. And I think that's the case with the Blues is Tarasenko doesn't necessarily have to move around as much. I know you'd like him to, you know, move a little bit, but I think if everyone else is moving, then that's why I just can't – if you watch Washington play and you watch that power play, it just blows my mind how Ovechkin gets loose all, you know, in that same spot all the time. But if you break it down, it's because the four other guys are interchanging constantly and cycling pucks or moving quickly, and then that creates that open spot for him on the wing, and that's where Tarasenko could be productive, maybe somewhat of a hybrid power play that they use.
Yeah, if you kind of compare him to, let's say, Brett Hull, and I think it's comparable. It's the best shot and
the
best.
Yeah, but guys, you're missing a big piece of the fucking puzzle here, boys. I'll tell you what, you're missing the biggest piece.
What's the biggest piece?
What did Brett Hull and Alexander Ovechkin have in common?
I know.
Go ahead.
Tell me.
Somebody that'll just get the puck to him nonstop.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a half answer. I'll give you half a point for that.
Well, I would say this.
The one timer.
The one timer. Hull's one timer was amazing. I would say finding the spot on the ice where he needed to be in the best position to do that, and also three words that he would tell Vladdy to his face, and I'm sure he has: hit the net. If you hit the net, good things happen.
Right. And how come he's not on his off wing sometimes? Like, he just seems to be on the strong side.
This is what I'm talking about right now. This is exactly what I'm talking about. You go back, check the analytics on it. I know because I checked. Vladdy Tarasenko has scored two one-timer goals all of last season and so far this season. Two one-timer goals. That's it.
Well, it sounds
like... You watch him. He does not want to shoot it. He wants to catch it, handle it, shoot it.
Well, then
that's the biggest difference of why he needs to move around, because if he wants to catch a puck, pull it in and shoot it, he has to be moving around. Well, if he's stationary, they just get in front of it.
Then how about 16 come down out of the rafters and show him how to do it?
He told him flat out. He's like, I don't know why you don't shoot the one-timer. He's like, some of us who are half as good as you made a pretty good living at it.
That's a nice compliment from 16. I'll go and then I'll let Jamie finish before he goes. My thoughts on can they sustain? I think they can, mainly because I do think eventually they're going to get the help. They're going to get the help from Berglund. The one guy, I mentioned Sanford earlier, and I've been thinking about this. Jamie, you touched on it earlier in the season because I think it surprised a lot of people. The guy that I think eventually will come back here and help with the third line that I think we all expected bigger things from was Barbashev. So my hope there is that whatever – you made minor reference to it. You know how you do, how you like to say little things that sometimes go right by people, and you're kind of giving them a little bit of some inside information. However he showed up to camp thinking maybe he had this thing licked, hopefully he's working that out wherever he's at, because I think he would be an important – I mean, he was a good third-line player, no doubt about it. So, again, if you were to get Berglund back, if Sanford's ever to get healthy and you had Barbashev – on your third line, I like it. So that's kind of why I think, you know, and of course, we are going to get Bouwmeester back. We're going to get deeper on the line. With Vince Dunn's play, again, there's a couple guys that I think have come back down to reality that started off the season well on defense. I think they've answered the question of who's going to sit out once Bouwmeester comes back. I'm not worried about Dunn now. But when some of these guys get healthy, I like our chances. So I'll let you finish before you go.
Yeah, no, look, guys, you've all hit really, really excellent points, and you're all right. I think the number one thing is, you know, can they stay healthy? And that's the thing, right? If we lose a guy, if we lose a top six forward or a top 2D, the dynamic changes. And that's why I think getting that third line jump started is such a huge deal, because injuries happen, things happen, shit happens basically all the time in the NHL. And heaven forbid we lose somebody that's in that mix right now, and then we don't have that element. Well, guess what? Things are going to get a lot rougher for the team. So, you know, the second, first and second line are doing a great job of carrying the offense for the team right now, and the D are doing a phenomenal job as well. But we've got to find a fix here soon before something jumps up and bites us in the ass, and we end up missing players, and then we're relying on guys to do jobs that they just simply can't do. So the answer to what your question is yes, I think they can, if things stay exactly the way they are, yes, they can continue to play this way and continue to win hockey games and be an elite team. If things don't change on the third line and we run into some adversity with our top six players or top 4D, then we'll probably have to revisit this question.
Well, Jamie, we appreciate you jumping on the bench with Butter. Obviously, you are brought to the show each and every week by our good friends, the Nelson family, with their wonderful Nelson Lance, NelsonLandServices.com, 636-244-5651. Professional landscaping at reasonable cost. They're five-star locally rated landscaping company. So big in the hockey community. Give them an opportunity for your business. One more time, that's NelsonLandServices.com. And, of course, your own wonderful Synergy Hockey. Tell our listeners where they can learn more, and I know you've got some stuff coming up.
Yeah, SynergyHockeySkills.com. We got the big deal coming up right now is Black Friday Camp. We got one in Pacific and one at the Mills, and it's a great deal. Kids get dropped off about 7:30 a.m., get picked up about 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Gives everybody a chance to get out, get the elbows high, and do some Black Friday shopping.
Elbows high, watch them fly. Well, hey, Jamie, thanks for joining us as you do every Monday. I guess I'll let our listeners know that I'm going to have to talk to you off air, because I don't think any of us, Gary mentioned Thursday, I don't think any of us will be here Thursday, so we're going to have to figure out a way to do the show on Wednesday. Take care of yourself, my friend, and I'll get a hold of you later this evening.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for having me. Good to see you, Tom.
All right. Good to talk to you, bud.
Great stuff, as always, from Jamie Rivers. And, again, we appreciate all the Twitter questions coming in, and, of course, the poll. And thanks to our friend, our new friend, Tom Ackerman, for joining us midway through the segment. Tom, before we go to Angela Sharp, you know, as I mentioned, and that was kind of my salvo of, you know, just giving you some praise there. You know, you're so iconic with sports talk here in town. For you to join our little show here, really, you know, add something to
big
it.
Big show, Jimmy.
Yeah, big show. But, you know, your take on the Blues, obviously, you know, they're open and honest, which a lot of people sometimes think the media struggle with being open and honest, whether it be, you know, especially with the Cardinals, maybe not so much with the Blues. How do you see your role in that? And I was just curious about that before we go to...
No, I think that's interesting. I think that it's always about being honest, I think is the key word. And if you keep it between the lines, so we're talking about hockey. I mean, I'm not sitting there talking about what players do away from the ice or whether they are not, whether they care or not. I mean, they care about playing. I mean, I think the difference maybe is that we should be able to use the access that we have to learn who these players are and how they can be better. Professional athletes get paid millions of dollars. They can handle it. They can handle some criticism. John Mozeliak is the president of baseball operations for the St. Louis Cardinals. He understands that there are millions of fans that demand that he wins a world championship every year. It's not about being competitive. And you know what? He wouldn't want it any other way. He doesn't want to be in a market where they just sort of shrug their shoulders and go do something else. He wants the media and the fans to care and be passionate about it. So my role is that I'm just like a fan, except that I have better access. So I've got to be able to tell the story of what's going on and kind of take you behind the curtain. And if I have to hold a team accountable, I certainly will do that and have done that. And I think that over time, if I spend enough time around the team and I'm watching practice, I'm going to games, I'm asking questions of the players and of the coaches and of the front office, then if they hear me being critical, they can say, well, Tom is informed. I mean, he is watching the games. We've told him what we do, and if he's not seeing something come to fruition, he's going to put it out there that it's not. That's always how I see it. I mean, I just think it's honest reporting, and then also being fair in criticism. And just as I have been critical of those two teams, I've also praised them for things that they've done well, and I've always felt like that's the right way to go.
Yeah. You know, you wonder sometimes as a fan, is it, you know, you're forced to always have the glass half full, and then when sometimes it's half empty, you know, are you stepping on toes? So those are great points. Somebody whose glass is always full, Gary?
She's awesome at being awesome.
All right, let's go to the celebrity line and get her in here. She was a fast machine. She kept the motor clean. She was the best damn woman that I ever seen. She's awesome at being awesome. Angela, you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Well, we always wonder where you're at. It's almost like a Where's Waldo with you. Where is Angela?
I actually just left KSTK. I was doing some TV appearances this morning promoting Black Friday deals at the Scott Trade Center there on the True Blues team store.
Oh, my goodness. That's right. I forgot about that. It is Black Friday coming up.
Well, it's really close to, like, you know, you need to get presents for people, so why not Blues tickets? Why not Blues gear?
Well, there you are, doing your job, doing your duty, as always. The Blues got their duty done on the ice, answered a two-game losing streak with a two-game winning streak on the road. They go into Edmonton first off, and the great Connor McDavid, we won't call him the great one. I don't think he's earned that right yet, although he is
MVP. He's not there yet, guys.
Yeah, but he's pretty good. Your thoughts as they answer the two-game losing streak with a win on the road in Edmonton?
Oh, I mean, that was a great one. You know, everybody's been talking about offensive, but you know shutting down that line really was pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been talking about points coming from the third and fourth line, as we've probably ad nauseum discussed on the show today. If they can shut down the other team's top lines and kick in an occasional point would be nice, but I think, as Mr. Ackerman pointed out, if the power play gets it going, we can definitely live with production from the top two lines. They head out of town there and go to Vancouver. Vancouver's kind of a team, an interesting team. Some of the same names are still there, the Sedin twins, and then with new blood. And you're not really sure what you get there. They kind of jump on us, but we face a little adversity and come back and then have an OT winner from Braden Schenn. Fans are just over the moon with this trade. And, again, I think it's real easy to forget about the first-round picks involved in this, but – you know, your thoughts on Braden Schenn, and you know, you hate to just keep whipping on Jori Lehterä since he's gone. What good's it do? But, man, it feels good too, doesn't it?
I mean, it's really nice to be on the right side of a trade, you know. I mean, this was a wonderful, great trade for the St. Louis Blues. And, I mean, I've been to a game in Vancouver, and to be able to win in overtime in that arena, that's a pretty impressive feat just in itself. I mean, that's a group of people who knows their hockey, will cheer for their hockey, and is, you know, very supportive of their team. That was a game that I was we had Friendsgiving, and so I was following that game on my phone. I'm like most of the men at the table, and I was following that game on the phone, and when we got to overtime, I'm like, I need a TV, and I need it now. So I luckily got to see that overtime goal. But, I mean, he's been nothing but great for us, and I hope he continues down that path.
Well, we're going to come home, get a home game finally, because I know, you know, nothing bothers you more than when they're gone for a while because you don't get to go down there and interact with the fans. But we're going to get that home game. Yeah, that's right. Then Connor McDavid will come back to town, and we'll try our best to shut him down again. As I look at this game Tuesday night, again, I think, you know, I'd like to see the Blues continue their play. The Oilers' record, it is what it is. They're below 500. I'm not 100% sure they're a below 500 team. I'd like us to continue our winning ways. But whenever you get close to the holidays and the superstars come to town, that's something that seems to have happened in the past. What do you expect out of the crowd? You know, a lot of kids are going to be on break, so you might have a younger crowd down there. Does it get a little more wild?
Well, you know what? That's what I'm looking forward to is, you know, I don't know like exactly when schools are hit and miss on this, but you might have an opportunity, especially tomorrow night and definitely Friday night, to get, you know, some of the kids in town and just have a really good game. And like you said, you know, we've been away from the Scott Trade Center for, I think it's been 11 days. So going back, having a home game, I am looking forward to a rowdy group of fans. And tomorrow night is the social media night. So there's a lot of people that'll be there tweeting and Instagramming and Facebooking and Facebook Living. the game. So hopefully that'll draw even more attention, and hopefully we'll draw even more fans Friday and Saturday, because we do have a bunch of games backed up right now, back to back, which is what I like, because I like to be inside the Scott Trade Center and hanging out with the Blues fans.
You know, you kind of foreshadowed ahead, so that's the game I want to talk about here before you go. That should be a measuring stick game for the Blues. The Predators come to town. You know, I know a lot of people put a lot of focus on the Blackhawks, but the reality of it is, you know, Nashville's kind of that team that we better be concerned with. You know, very quietly, they're 11-6-2. That, to me, is a great test game to see where we're at. Your thoughts?
Well, I do. I think it's very much a test game. I mean, you know, they went to the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. So, I mean, that's a team that you do have to kind of look at, see what happens. But not only do I have faith in our Blues, but our at home with our fans behind us, definitely think we're going to take that one. No problem.
Angela, I wanted to ask you about social media night. Do you think that the Blues have changed the game in the way that they've approached fans? Do you sense that? You have a good sense on fans. You're in touch with them a lot through social media. Are you seeing more casual sports fans get interested in hockey? Are you seeing more banter out there on those social media platforms about the team as a result of them getting more involved?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like it or hate it, social media is here and it's going to stay. So I think it's awesome that the Blues have really kind of taken to that. And they've, you know, selected somebody here and there every game to kind of come to the game. So they've had various personalities tweeting at social media of the game, or just fans in general. And I find it more and more. I mean, there'll be times where I'll be out, you know, just with my friends, and I'll run into people like, oh, you're the Blues girl. I'm getting that more and more now from more of the casual fan who is like, how do I learn more about the sport? Like, I went to a game, or I saw somebody tweeted or Instagrammed about the game. Like, how do I learn more about the game? Because their interest has peaked now that there's more information out there on the social media site. So hopefully that does. And I know everybody hates bandwagon fans, and this is not bandwagon fans. What we're doing is we're getting new fans coming to the sport of hockey. They're St. Louis based, so they're going to be Blues fans, and that's what we like to see.
Yeah, we need to tell the story of the Blues a little bit better to the rest of the country, and social media, as you know, can explode and go worldwide in a matter of minutes. Here's the other thing, is that I hear from a lot of people who say, you know, I don't go to a Blues games, or I haven't been to a hockey game because I don't know anything about hockey. That's okay. I mean, you don't need to know a thing about hockey. Here's what you need to know, that you walk in and it's a great show. These are world-class athletes crashing into each other. The object is to put the puck in the net and let the strategy and learning all that come with time. You'll get it.
Exactly, and I totally agree with you 100%. I mean, hockey is a fast-paced, kind of aggressive sport, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, sometimes people will watch on TV and say they don't really get it. You got to go to a game. I think when you go to the game, that's really when you can kind of pick up on all those, you know, nuances about the game and really love the sport. But, I mean, it's a sport I grew up loving, so it's easy for me to say.
I think it's two totally different sports based on where you sit in the arena, too. If you're in the 300 level, you can see the strategy, and it's pretty fascinating to see how they spread out and what they do. When you're down low in the 100 level, you see that speed and physicality. It's pretty ferocious at first.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, just taking somebody new to a game who's sitting in maybe one of those first couple rows, when they crash against that glass, when somebody gets checked into that glass, I mean, that is an eye-opener for some fans. And I think that really is what kind of draws them in. I mean, if you see that, that's like the new fan, the kids, even like, you know, other athletes. We have a lot of, you know, baseball players that come down and who really like the physicality of hockey.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, if you want to go to a game and just sit there and you go just to sip on a beer and talk to your friends, that's okay, too. We want you in the building because you'll get hooked. I mean, it won't take long.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to get hooked very, very quickly. That's what I always tell people. Just come to a game, hang out. And for the most part, I think the people around you will help you out if you want help, or, you know, just let you be the casual fan that you are. I mean, there's no wrong way to do it. Just come down now and come to a game and hang out with us.
So hardcore hockey fans listening to this show, that's how you do it. You just tell your friends, cold beer, friends, cool people, and they will. They'll get sucked into it, just like we all did.
That's right. That's right. We all got hooked some way or another.
Well, great stuff as always from you, Angela. We can always count on you to liven up the show, of course, as your glass is always half full. You're always Mrs. Positive, and as our own Coach Henson has proclaimed, you're awesome at being awesome. As Tom mentioned, social media and its importance in today's, I guess, everything, much less sports. Tell our listeners how they can follow you.
Oh, yeah. You can follow me on everything, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all just my name, Angela Sharp. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it.
Great stuff as always. You enjoy your home games, as I know you will.
I am going to have so much fun. Let's go Blues.
That is the wonderful Angela Sharp. She joins us each and every Monday on our celebrity line. And again, she is a celebrity. Gary, would you have any doubts?
No doubts whatsoever.
No doubts whatsoever.
None. Zero. I have zero doubt.
So here, let's give Butter. Would you agree? What?
I concur.
Yes, I concur. I mean, you're such an agreement. Tom, you're obviously familiar with Angela's work. She's a great, I guess, tool that the Blues have to connect with the fans. She does such a great job.
That is not an easy job. I mean, that is not an easy job to stay up the entire time, especially if the team's losing. To continue to stay up, she runs the contests on the ice. She goes up into the stands and does those contests with the fans. Got to be on your game at all times. And you got to be on time for everything because there's a very small window to get something done. But also, she does more than hockey. I mean, I see her on TV. I see her on social media promoting Gateway Motorsports Park and various other sports. She just talked about being on Channel 5 doing something for Black Friday. I mean, she's all over the place and well-deserved. A really good insight into if you want to get into the business, it's not an easy thing. It's hard work and persistence, and she certainly has worked hard to get to where she is.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret she has some aspirations of some other things she'd like to do within the business, and I guess this is what it takes. I mean, you guys have all went through it at one time or another, starting somewhere and trying to get there. You know, look at yourself, where you're at. You've been a sports director for KMOX. You get to cover kind of this labor of love, I guess. I can assume you're a fan of both franchises.
I grew up here, so a fan of both franchises. And, you know, so yesterday, you know, I drove to Springfield, Missouri, called a basketball game, and drove back. And people would say, gosh, why did you drive 3 hours to go call a game and you drive 3 hours home? No, I mean, I'm calling a college basketball game on TV. I had my daughter with me. She gets to watch it. You know, I get... That's my life, is to be able to have some fun. There's nothing like when you get to call a game and you have the headset on and it's up to you. And on a TV game, the entire crew, you've got an entire truck of people working. You have people that are there on the court holding cameras. You have your staff lined up with you on press row, and it's up to you. I mean, if you mess it up, they all lose. So that feeling of pressure is a lot of fun. It takes me a while, actually, to come down. By the time I get to Rolla, I've come down a little bit because you get a high off of it.
Well, college sports are amazing just because I think of the very genuineness of it, you know, that you still have that feeling of the athletes or student athletes, and it's the love of the game. It's not polluted by money, so to speak. How old were you when you started in this business?
So I've been at KMOX for 20 years. I started at 22. And I'm 42 now. I graduated from Indiana University and came back home to work for $7 an hour behind the scenes at KMOX. So I was getting coffee for people. I was running errands. I was driving the van, setting up remotes. I worked for engineering, production, news, and sports. And then a year later, at 23, they put me on the air as a reporter because they needed an extra person during the McGuire-Sosa home run race. And then they needed an extra person the next year to cover the Rams because nobody was covering them, and they go on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I really caught it at a great time. 2000, the Cardinals go on their run. The Blues won the President's Trophy. I mean, it was wild. A lot of great things were happening at that time. It definitely helped my career.
I'm trying to think. So were you at Indiana University when our friend Johnny Van Buskirk was there playing soccer and they won the –
So I was there 93 to 97.
Yeah, so Johnny's 4 years younger than us. When Indiana had that big run in soccer, that was a good friend of ours, John Van Buskirk.
Yeah, they've had some great runs, and they've won 8 national titles. Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, so you were younger, like Brett Hull's name has come up. So you were young, but you lived through that.
Yeah, I grew up here in the 80s. So, you know, when Brett Hull came to town in 1988, I was, 13 years old. So, I mean, that was like, you know, I was every single day you talk about reading through the sports page and poring over box scores. And then, you know, my high school years living through Brett Hall scoring 86 goals in a season and us going down to games basically every night.
Well, it came to mind for a variety of reasons, but one, it is interesting to see a guy like yourself very excited to have a sports page. Like, you don't see that much anymore. It takes me back to when I went through a stretch in my life where, like, every day I had to read the sports page from front to back during my lunch. I looked forward to it. It kind of started for me. I remember when Hall and was going through that. But yet when he kind of grew hockey in this area, the two guys sitting across from him being coaches at McHenry University, I think they're all a product of the growth. And like here these guys are building a hockey program in St. Louis at a college and give kids the opportunity that are local to have somewhere to go if their skill level's there and obviously grades and things like that. But they're bringing in guys from all over the country. The effect that Brett Hull had, I mean – have you seen anything like that from, like, a sustained, like, Kurt Warner, obviously, Mark McGwire, all this stuff, but Brett Hull literally changed a community, in my opinion.
No, he really did. He changed the entire community. I think you've seen, in some markets, I guess, some sports explode here and there, but when I was growing up, and I played basketball as a kid, but my friends who played hockey, they had to wait until late at night to get on the ice, you know, whether it was Creve Coeur or Afton or Brentwood, and there weren't a lot of rinks, and quite honestly, there still aren't enough sheets of ice in this town. So you've got to be able to accommodate that explosion of hockey right now. It is an explosion. I mean, and Brett did start it. And so now it's taken on another level. We have kids. It is the hottest and the fastest growing sport in St. Louis right now. We have how many kids playing in the NHL out of St. Louis? 10. 5 were drafted in the first round not long ago.
Yeah.
So it in 1 year.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a wild scene right now, and Brett has a lot to do with that. In 1990-91, when he scored 86 goals in a season, the Cardinals were not very good,
yep,
and there was no football. So the Blues were the team. The Blues were the team. You know, when you heard that the Blues played that night, the question was, did Brett score? Brett was the biggest star in the biggest sport in this town. And so, yeah, he took it to another level without a doubt, and it's great to have him part of the organization now. My first year at KMOX was 97, so he was just finishing up his time in St. Louis and then moved elsewhere and, of course, won Stanley Cups.
Yeah, which kind of stunk. But, yeah, it isn't – like I remember at that age kind of figuring out, hey, man, I can look at the box scores and what did Hull do, because they obviously weren't all home games. You didn't have all the television that you do now. But I did that. And then it's funny you mentioned the Rams. That was kind of when I came back to the newspaper. I used to love Monday mornings sitting down. I had a place. I was a beer rep like Gary was for a little while. And I literally every Monday had my routine. And I went to the same place and ate lunch every Monday. And I literally sat there for an hour and read the sports page from front to back. And I mean, every stat, and just thinking back to what Kurt Warner did still amazes me to this day. I mean, it's still one of the most amazing stories that I've – I mean, like Game 6 is a great game, but that season by Kurt Warner, unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was.
So we've been blessed. You've seen some amazing things.
I have. And just back to the newspaper, I mean, I told you when I walked in that I had this and I was excited to actually read it because, and it's my own fault, you know, I've created this from having an iPhone and working at a fast-paced business. I don't have time to read the paper. I mean, everything is just flying. I do a show in the morning from 5 to 9 a.m. where I have 3 monitors in front of me, and I'm paying attention to traffic and weather and sports and news, and I have Twitter up, and everything's flying at a fast pace. Do I ever have time to, like, turn and read page B3? I mean, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
So it's nice to just slow down once in a while and read the paper. I really look forward to the Saturday and Sunday newspaper where I can just sit down and relax as much time as you can with a puppy and 2 kids.
Sure.
But
that's
it's great.
3 kids.
Yeah, that's so, 3 kids. But it's great. And no, I've always been. I mean, I used to get caught in science class, you know, in biology class, reading the sports page in the back of the room. Ackerman, put the sports page down. Yeah. You know, so I've always loved it.
That is a true labor of love. Well, again, we've embraced the social media portion of all this. It's interesting how it allows everybody to have an opinion. It allows everybody to state their thing. We're going to do that right now. One of our contributors is Dennis Minner, and he comes to you live each week here on the Monday edition of Blues NHL Podcast. It's time for Live from Minner Arena. Take it away, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back again. Just got back from vacation in Disney World. Had an amazing time. So it is great to be back, actually, literally live in Minner Arena this week. So check me out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Minner Arena. Hey, one of the things this week while I was at Disney World that I made sure and kind of looked for was hockey shirts to strike up conversation with people on transportation and lines and things. And I got to see a lot of people with Flyer shirts. And had a great and enjoyable time thanking them for Shin. They weren't near as thankful back for Laterra. One cool thing, ran into a guy named Matt from St. Charles who gave me a Let's Go Blues and actually knew and had heard of Minner Arena. So if anybody knows a Matt from St. Charles that was just in Disney World, let him know we were talking about him on the podcast. Only saw two visible Blackhawks fans all week long, which was nice. My wife wasn't paying attention either time, so I did get to sneak a Blackhawks sucks as they passed by. Probably not the most Disney thing to do, but, you know, couldn't resist. Hey, what an awesome about we had coming back with 4 points on this three-game Canadian road trip. Absolutely awesome. We are definitely moving in the right direction. Our next 5 games being at home, sure, a great opportunity to keep banking some points. Before those Jets, who are really nipping at our heels. They've got 2 games less than us and only 2 points behind. But again, that weakness and something that's really hurting us is that power play and the penalty kill. Power play, we're number 25 in the entire NHL with only a 15.9%. And on the penalty kill, we're number 22 with only 78.3%. So definitely going to have to see some adjustments on that from Coach Yeo to really get us moving completely in the right direction that we want to be. But hey, this is Thanksgiving time this week, so this is going to be kind of my Thanksgiving edition of Live from Minner Arena. I want to go over just a few things as a Blues fan so far this year that I'm really thankful for. No particular order. Number one, Coach Yeo. Do you all realize he is 37-13-3 since starting with the Blues towards the end of last season? He took an absolutely bleeding team and began healing them. We now have one of the top teams in the league, or the best in our division. Number two, the obvious, Shin. 2-for-1 because we also don't have Laterra. But Shin is a plus 15, 8 goals, 18 assists. Laterra is at a negative 3, 0 goals and 2 assists. All season last year, Laterra only had 7 goals and 15 assists. So Shin has been absolutely incredible pickup by Armstrong this offseason. Let's talk about that Shvorchenko line. 28 goals, 46 assists. 74 points with all three of them being at a plus 15. St. Louis Blues, hands down, we have one of the greatest lines going right now in all of NHL. Another thing I'm thankful for is being a full-season ticket holder. It's my 4th season up in Section 307. If you ever have any questions about taking that leap, you know, let me know. It comes with so many amazing perks, including tours, meet and greets, and all sorts of great stuff. And it's just so much fun being you kind of feel like you're almost more part of the team being that. One of the other things I'm thankful for, I'm now weekly on KMOX every Monday night, thanks to Amy and Alex for letting me part of Section 300 on Wendy's Week in Hockey, so you can listen to me there live on KMOX. Another thing I'm thankful for is Ava. If you don't know who she is, then you haven't been to a home game this season. She's our new Jumbotron, but you didn't hear me call her that. Another thing I'm thankful for is those of you that stay seated until play stops. As you all know, if you heard, that was also one of my biggest pet peeves, but I'm thankful for those of you that stay in your seats. But hands down, the most thankful thing that I have going for the Blues right now is doing this podcast. Sincere thanks to Jim, Darren, and Jamie. Have an absolute blast doing this, and hope you guys are enjoying my few minutes with you guys every week. So, again, take a follow, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Minner Arena. And until next week, let's go Blues!
Good stuff as always. And again, Tom, I got to ask you, are you familiar with Minner Arena? Have you seen this thing going around on social media?
Yeah, in fact, he's been part of Wendy's Week in Hockey, which is a show that airs on Monday nights on KMOX, where they've been talking to fans and they've included him in.
He's awesome.
For good reason.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I have laughed out loud at some of that stuff.
You know, he's about as, I mean, he hasn't let this change to it. Like, he's not filtering himself at all. Like, when he's upset, he lets it fly. And again, you wonder sometimes if people are going to scale back because they get put on something like this. So good for him. It's been a lot of fun. He does a great job. Another one of the segments that we do that I'm probably going to assume that you're familiar with, Brad Lee, who runs the St. Louis Game Time.
Yes.
I call it a rag, affectionately. It's like a rag. I mean, you get it out in front of Scott Trader, you can apply for it. I know Gary got turned on to it once we started on the show last year, and he can't go to a game without it. I find it to be a different, like, you know, you're reading the newspaper. What I like about the St. Louis Game Time is it's different. It's not stuff you're going to find in the paper. It is people saying, have you thought about this? This is going on. This is happening. This is what I think. And then it provokes thought. Your thoughts on the
yeah,
St. Louis
and
Game
Time. It's fun.
Yes.
You know, and they poke fun at people, and they have jokes in there, and they have the tail of the tape with the fights and everything like that. No, it's great. And that's a great product. And they know that. Brad and everybody there know that I have purchased St. Louis Game Time forever. I mean, I'm always ready to grab one of those outside the arena, and I support that 100%. You know, I think there's that social media has empowered a lot of people to be able to make their voices heard, and I think it's great for sports because these sports don't exist without the fans. This product, the NHL, doesn't exist if fans don't show up or fans don't watch or fans don't listen. That's what it's created for. It's entertainment. And the players get paid millions of dollars because the fans pay a premium to go to the games. They have absolutely the right to voice their opinion any way they can get it. One of my favorite fans, a guy named Keith, emails me every once in a while, and his rants are epic. And I'm the only one that gets to see him because he emails them to me all one long paragraph. And we always talked about meeting up and getting a beer. So the opening night, it was opening night or maybe the second home game, I can't remember now, but I was texting with him and I said, I'm coming, where are you sitting? I'm coming to see you. And so after the second intermission, went up, sat next to him up in the 300 level, and we just sat there and talked and had a great time. And he's so good, and his rants were right on the money too, about, you know, he was tearing up Doug Armstrong last year for not having this or that. He seems pretty satisfied right now with the way things are going, but very open and honest with how everything transpires in terms of hockey.
Butter would send you some of those rants, but they'd be like one or two words, like, I they're good, they're bad, I concur. So we won't do that. But let's hear from Brad Lee now. And again, I encourage everybody, if you haven't done it yet, make sure you get to the Scott Trade Center just a few minutes early. Find one of their vendors. You'll find them positioned strategically outside the Scott Trade Center, or you can listen to Brad and figure out the best way to get subscribed to it. I it's in my inbox every home game. It's ready to go. And again, it's, as you know, they are non-conventional thoughts that kind of make you think, and it is fun. So let's hear from Brad Lee now with his St. Louis Game Time report.
Hi, this is Brad Lee from St. Louis Game Time. Welcome to the Game Time segment of the podcast. You can find us online, stlouisgametime.com, at stlouisgametime on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us outside every Blues home game on the northeast corner of 14th and Clark, the 14th Street doors, and by the garage driveway to the garage attached to the arena. We're the Fan Run Paper, a tradition for Blues home games since January of 1995, when the current building opened. Hard to believe. It's Monday. I'm recording this on Monday. The Blues are back in town from their successful road trip. It was a little bumpy. It was a little bumpy, but, you know, pretty good. Ended on a high note with an overtime win Saturday night against the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver games are always weird. I think it's the location. You know, you're out in the middle of nowhere, up, you know, in the far west coast and the northeast. There's nothing for miles around, except for Seattle. Seattle's kind of the same way. There's a lot of hippies, a lot of homeless people up there. There's a lot of people that like the ganja. It's just a, you know, the arena's weird. The uniforms are a little weird. They've had a lot of lights added to the building there. There's lots of advertisements on the stairs. If you look at them in the wrong direction, they don't make any sense. It's just a weird thing. And the Blues, you know, it's always an up and down game when they go to Vancouver. You never quite know. Even when Vancouver isn't a very good team like this year, the Canucks always play them hard. I don't know what it is. Maybe the Canadiens just don't like St. Louis. I don't know. They're kind of creepy, so maybe that has something to do with it. But, you know, they're behind 3-2 going into the third period. They tie it up and then win it in overtime. Only the second game this season that they've won after they were down going into the third period. Braden Schenn, what can you say? He splits the defenders, puts it past the goalie, celebrate, get on the plane, come home. What would this season be like if Braden Schenn wasn't a St. Louis Blue? I mean, what would we be talking about? We'd be talking about a lot of losses. We'd be talking about a middle-of-the-pack team. In 21 games, he has 8 goals and 18 assists, 26 points. He's a plus 15 on his career, even with the plus 15 this season. Over his career, he's a minus 17. That's how much a difference this season has made for him. He was an underachieving, considered slow and unathletic winger for the Philadelphia Flyers. What were they doing? What were they thinking? It's unbelievable. And now, you know, the Blues, I think you could say, are contender right now. As crazy as that sounds, with all the injuries, with the question marks about the lineup, with some of the things that they've had to deal with this season, no Jay Bomeister, no Patrick Berglund, no Alexander Steen to start the season, starting a lot of young and unproven guys on the third line and not getting a lot of production from that third line or the fourth line consistently. And here they are. I mean, it's crazy. I would say that Braden Schenn and Alex Pietrangelo, and I guess Jaden Schwartz, all tied for first for most important Blue right now. I mean, even more important than Jake Allen, more important than Steen, more important than Vladimir Tarasenko. I know, it's kind of blasphemous, but the facets of their game and how they have picked themselves up and improved this season and performed night in and night out, it's why the Blues are in first place. As simple as that. You know, Tarasenko has had some important goals, obviously. And playing on a line with Schwartz and Schenn has been fun to watch, entertaining as hell. Yeah. But, man, the chemistry that they developed without him and the contributions they made before they were put on that line, so important. And you know what? It's you hate to be the fans that say, man, I can't wait to see that one line. I think, you know, when Edmonton is in town on Tuesday, everyone says, oh, look, I can't wait for the McDavid line to come out. Or in Pittsburgh, the Crosby line or the Malkin line. And you really get so focused on just a couple of performers that you sit up and pay attention when those guys are on the ice, and you maybe relax when they're on the bench catching their breath. It's definitely a weird situation to be in, but man, entertaining as hell when they're out there. So, you know, I'll take it, you know. One other thing I wanted to mention real quick. The Blues have started to get involved with the Hockey Fights Cancer movement. You know, it's nothing new. They've sold things, and Jimmy Roberts, who was fighting cancer at the time, was honored for the Hockey Fights Cancer movement, and he was supposed to drop the puck while he was fighting cancer, and he unfortunately died, and his good friend Bob Plager had to come out and drop it in his honor. This year, the player of the game, the hard hat winner, wears a Jimmy Roberts-inspired hat in the dressing room talking to the media after the game. I think that's so cool. Both goalies, Carter Hutton and Jake Allen, are going to wear Hockey Fights Cancer helmets inspired, or masks inspired by kids with cancer. They're going to have their signatures all over them, and it's going to have the logos and the purple and the white, and it's going to be special. And then the first game in December, the family of Ari is going to drop the puck. And, man, that's going to be a tough moment. You know, she just died not long ago. And, you know, here's the thing that I commend the Blues. And I think I may have mentioned this before. It's easy for sports teams to drop in at a hospital or have visits from kids who have been in bad situations or kids who have long-term illnesses, but not necessarily potentially terminal illnesses. I think sometimes, and you know, I'm not saying this is the wrong approach, but I think teams can get a little picky and not want to attach themselves to stories that look like they're going to have a sad ending. And Ari really had a sad ending. You know, even though, you know, it's all about fighting for Ari and Ari strong and, you know, winning it for her and having her spirit. Man, she, in 11 years, she, her 11 years old, she had cancer for 8 of them. And I think it was the entire time when she was interacting with the team and Vladimir Tarasenko, there's a real possibility that she wasn't going to make it, and she didn't. And the Blues still embraced her and her family. And now they continue to embrace her after the fact. And I think that just shows what kind of organization the Blues are, what kind of leadership they have from the top of the front office to the players on the ice. I think they, you know, they took pictures for the kids with cancer who came and trick-or-treated at Scott Trade Center, and they had the entire organization involved, and they all came out on the ice and took pictures. And that's awesome. That's amazing. And I think there's another sports team in this town that I don't think you're necessarily going to see that. There was definitely another sports team in this town that isn't here anymore where you definitely wouldn't have seen that if they're still here. So I think it's to be commended. It's going to be a tough moment having her family walk out there and drop that puck. You know, it's just sad. Every family has been touched by cancer. My family, your family, everybody. And I think a lot of what people feel is, man, kids are the hardest. Because they, you know, it just comes out of nowhere and blindsides you. And, yeah, sorry to bring it down for a minute, but I just got the notification before I started recording that her family's going to be out there to drop the puck. So, really cool. Going to be a tough moment. We'll see what happens. So, Blues, man, busy. Tuesday, and then they play at home on Friday and Saturday, Thanksgiving weekend. I'm going to be busy on my Turkey Day putting the paper together, the fan-run paper we sell outside every Blues home game. Like I said, northeast corner of 14th and Clark, just outside the City Hall lot, outside the 14th Street doors, and then by the garage attached to the arena. So find us on Tuesday night for the Oilers. Find us for Nashville. Find us for Minnesota. The day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday, stop shopping and come to the game. We'll see you Saturday, family in town. Hopefully it's going to be a big crowd and a lot of people who want to buy the paper. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Like I said, Brad with St. Louis Game Time. Thanks.
Great stuff. Really appreciate them being a part of our show. I'm so happy with the lineup that we've constructed over the last year. I feel like we've got a great group of people that bring a little something different to each show. Again, I can't thank my co-host, Coach Henson and Coach Brown from McHenry University providing insight. You know, sometimes it takes a coach to understand what's going on the ice versus just a fan. And again, with Jamie Rivers and Angela Sharp and Bradley and Dennis Minner, I just feel like we got a great group here in Kimby when he's here on Thursday. So thanks to everybody for being a part of the show. Tom, I want to thank you for joining us today. I really enjoyed having you in and hearing some thoughts from you. I know you're in studio here for the day. You're going to do the Cardinal show next. Again, you get to do that labor of love with both franchises. It's kind of a nice thing.
I appreciate you having me. It's absolutely great to be here, and you can ask me anytime.
Well, you better be careful. We'll take you up on that and have you in here all the time. But
every Monday, 10 o'clock.
Yep, right. Every Monday, 10 o'clock.
You get me out of a meeting. I have a meeting every Monday at 10, for today.
So if you have something to do, you can get out. Is that kind of how that goes?
Yeah.
I want to thank all of our partners, of course. You know, the Innovated Companies with Innovated Construction being our lead sponsor. The Twitter poll, just to make sure we covered it and give you the stats on that. Of course, the Twitter poll is something that we've kind of started thanks to Innovated Heating and Cooling, just another branch off the Innovated companies. New construction, full replacement HVAC systems, full service, residential, commercial, refrigeration, ductwork, fully licensed and bond and insured, 35-plus years experience, second-generation craftsmanship. Special thanks to Randy Green and his daughter Stephanie for bringing Innovated Heating and Cooling. The Twitter poll, the official results, and the question was, will the return of Blues center Patrick Berglund be enough to jumpstart the third line offensively? Gary, Coach Henson, will it be enough? Yes or no?
It has to be.
Butter.
Yes.
Mr. Ackerman.
Will the third line be able to jumpstart?
With Patrick Berglund jumping, will that be enough to get the third line going?
I think it will be enough to get it going.
I need a yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, that was a yes. Well, the yeses have it. 68% to 32%, thanks to all that voted. We appreciate you jumping in on that. And that will be a showly occurrence. Is that a word?
No.
No?
No.
A show day occurrence?
Weekly.
Weekly?
Well, it's not weekly. It's biweekly.
All right.
No, it's not even biweekly. It's twice a week. So what would that be? Twice weekly.
Semi-weekly.
Twice weekly.
I like showly, actually.
It's a word. You got,
that's
listen,
a new word that we might use on KMOX.
It's a great thing about podcasting. You can do whatever you want.
I understand, but come on.
I mean, listen. You do a podcast with Jamie Rivers. You know as well as anybody. You can do anything you want to do.
I understand, but as someone with an English degree, I have a problem are you with gonna you making up words.
Hey, that's the beautiful thing of podcasting. I mean, look at Tom, how relaxed he is in here because it's podcasting.
Well,
he can say whatever he wants.
I was relaxed. Until you said Showley. You and Kimball, you guys screw names up, you make up words, my head's spinning. I don't know what to think.
Well, that is how it goes. And, of course, our Twitter questions, again, that was Innovated Electric. Thanks to them for coming on board. They also new construction, panel changes, full-service upgrades. They can do your fixtures and devices. They are a full-service department. Again, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. All part of Randy and Stephanie's wonderful company, part of the Innovated companies. Great questions today. Happy to have everybody involved in the show as much as they want to be. Again, make sure you check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Before we go, I do want to thank our affiliated partners on Facebook. They've helped the show grow to the heights that it has. Arch City Sports, Mick does a great job. He's very, very supportive of our show. I know he's friends with Jamie, and he really enjoys what we're doing, friends with some of our other partners as well. Thanks for Arch City Sports jumping on board. St. Louis Hockey Memes, Dennis has done a great job being a part of all this. We're really excited to have them on board. Don't forget everybody over at St. Louis Blues Fans Unite. They also do a great job sharing wonderful content. Social media is where it's at, folks. Jump on board. Be a part of the conversation. Happy to be a part of lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. For Coach Henson and Coach Brown with McKendree University, for Jamie Rivers and Synergy Hockey, and our guest, Tom Ackerman from KMOX, I'm Jim Cromer. We will see you guys, I'm assuming, on Wednesday. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.